Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 219 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast. And this one's a really good one. It's with Justin Eastwood from Chef J BBQ in Kansas City, Missouri. His restaurant is located in an old John Deere building, over 100 years old, about 4,000 square feet. They currently have 100% seating capacity with social distancing. After watching this, you're definitely going to want to check them out. They're open every Saturday from 11:30 till 4 p.m. or sold out. They generally sell out. They're doing really, really well. There's a thing called First Fridays that's down in the West Bonham area. So they're open Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of the very first Friday. His goal is to be open many more days, but that's what it is right now. Wonderfully, if you go to the website, I'll have a link below. You can pre-order. Pre-order starts on Sunday. They go through Thursday. There's a cutoff on Thursday. The pre-order pickup starts at 10:30, so you can get in line there. But you could still order at the restaurant. It's kind of cool, too, because the restaurant is attached to the Beast Haunted House, which is the oldest haunted house in America. And it's not like a haunted house where it's just a haunted house. It's one of those ones where you go through and they scare the heck out of you. This one's really interesting because he's been in the restaurant business since he was 14 years old. The restaurant life and cooking is in his blood. Talks about his pit. It's a very unique pit with dual fireboxes. Really interesting. We actually, if you're watching this on YouTube, at the very end, he does a tour of the restaurant, and then we get to see the pit outside and see what it's like outside. So check that out at the end if you're on YouTube, and that's youtube.com/kevinsbbqjoints. But his pit, his current pit, he's going to be 1,000-gallon built by a local guy, Colin Gray. He's C. Gray Ironworks, up and coming. The pit looks awesome. There's a photo of the pit, too. For his menu, it's very Central Texas style. Does a Texas Trinity, makes sausage from scratch. But he has bacon burn-ins, which are made with pork belly. He has 5 or 6 sandwiches, and they're massive sandwiches, and he describes them in depth. He has a connection to Tyler Harp, Harp Barbecue. At one of Harp's events before COVID, Zach Parker from Scott's Barbecue in Tennessee came and did a whole hog and did a whole collaboration with Harp. And there's a Tennessee dip on Chef J's menu that's a nod to Zach Parker. So anyways, I can go on. It's a really great one. Justin is a cool, cool guy. It's talking to him feels like I was talking to an old friend. You're definitely going to want to check him out. I can't thank him enough for taking the time. And the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast and YouTube show is brought to you by Treaty Oak Distilling. They're available at treatyoakdistilling.com. You could buy all their bourbon, rum, gin, everything. Tons of swag, really cool stuff at their website, or go to their location in Dripping Springs. There's 26 acres there. You could have all those alcohols as well as mixed drinks. They have a beer. They have a wine that are just available on property. Sprawling, beautiful property, so lots of social distancing. They'll eventually open up their distillery tours again. Right now, they're just making hand sanitizer. They also have a restaurant, Alice's Restaurant, a Life Isle restaurant that's being held by Scott Fogel, Barbecue, Life Fire. They're just cool people, really great stuff. Check them out, treatyoakdistilling.com. And I have a website, kevinsbbqjoints.com, with links to tons of stuff, links to all my podcasts, all my YouTube stuff, news throughout the barbecue world, across the country, tons of lists. Combinations, lots of pit stuff. I'm growing the pit section like crazy because I know how much I dig pits and dig pit makers and pit builders. So I want to offer that information for people. I'm on all social media at Kevin's BBQ Joints. If you're digging these, please subscribe. That way you won't miss out on any of these. I'm doing 2 to 3 of these per week. At the end, thank you so much for listening. Stay safe. Good morning.
Oh, good morning. How are you doing, Joe?
I'm doing well. And do you go by Justin or Chef Jay, or what's the best way?
Go by Jay.
Jay?
Most people have been calling me Jay for the last few years, and that's kind of how I came up with the, Chef Jay.
And actually, it's very easy to remember. Well, and so we off camera, we were just talking about things getting back to normal. I'm in Los Angeles where things aren't getting back to normal.
Yeah, they're not very normal.
We're on our, I feel like we're honestly on our way back to where we were in March. But so are you starting to, this will probably air in about a week and a half, but are you starting to see things, what is your seating capacity now? Or what are you allowed to?
Well, we're allowed 100% capacity. Okay. We just have the social distance and perfect. Everything. We have a pretty good size space. It's about 4,000 square feet. So we kind of took some of the tables away and just spread them all out to where we have at least 6 foot distance.
Makes sense.
We can fit about 80, 90 people in here. Still a lot of carry out, though. Yeah. I mean, we do our pre-orders and everything, and that's still been real hot. People come pick it up before our service even starts.
Is that helpful at all for your pars and different? But I guess can they pre-order many days in advance or not?
Yeah, we require it many days. We basically take pre-order Sunday through Thursday. We're open for service every Saturday.
Yeah.
So we shut down pre-orders on Thursday, and then cook Friday, and we do pre-order pickup from 10:30 to 11:30.
Okay.
If you can start service. We kind of found that's the best way just because we can keep the food fresh, mm-hmm. you know, we can account for it, and we're not like, we had a time a few weeks ago where I'm starting to run out of food for service, and I know I still have like 15 more pre-orders to come.
Oh, that's stressful.
So we had to set it up to where they pick up before service even starts. And it worked out really well, actually.
And I don't think people in the restaurant business, though, that aren't in the restaurant business, understand how stressful that moment is, knowing, am I going to have enough? Like, it's...
Oh, yeah.
I've worked at restaurants. It's scary. That's, like, not frightening, but it's like, oh, we got to figure this out real quick.
It's scary for the people standing in line, too.
Yeah.
When they know I start right, because we got a board right to the left of us that's sellout sign. And as soon as I start calling out some sellouts, they go pretty quick. Uh-huh. As soon as brisket goes, it's on to the next one, you know, and there it's boom, boom, boom.
Brisket is the animal that goes first. Now, So did you grow up in Kansas City? And I want to know where West Bottoms is. I want to know. I have a lot of questions for you. So where do you go?
Born and raised Kansas City. Been here my whole life. I'm 34 years old. Always loved Kansas City.
It's funny. You have that rad tattoo. If you're listening to this on the podcast, you got to switch over to the YouTube side. You can see that's a killer. So you're a Chiefs fan, born and raised.
Huge Chiefs fan, yeah. I mean, we were season ticket holders for 12 years before, we won the Super Bowl last year. I had actually given up my season tickets last year to go with the business. I mean, just the business when I was starting to go full-time restaurant. I couldn't manage them both, you know, juggle them both. So gave them up, and then we go on and win the freaking Super Bowl. I mean, I got to go to the AFC Championship game, which was
– That's nice. You know,
yeah, it was awesome. I'll always remember it.
Who was that beast of a running back? I'm trying to think. He was – Christian Okoye? I'm trying to think of
– way back in the day. We had a lot of running backs.
Yeah. You have. But who was the other one?
Jamaal Charles.
Oh, Jamaal Charles. Yeah. Oh, gosh.
East Holmes was a beast. See, we've always had a good running
back. That is true. That's true. There was a good history of – and it seems like, in that area too, like Denver's had a lot of running backs. It seems like that region looks for – but I just remember Christian Okoye, like, stepping over people. Like,
oh, he was huge. I mean, he's a 6'3", 250-pound running back.
Oh,
like, no one wants to tackle that guy.
No, I'm sure people still have, like, cleat marks in their chest for a bit.
Oh, yeah.
So what was it like growing up in Kansas City?
Kansas City's been great. You know, I mean, like, it's a real tight-knit kind of city and town. You know, everyone's real passionate about whatever it may be. If it's Chiefs, Royals, barbecue, you know, everyone is – got their opinion and they're really passionate about it.
Do you think it's because you guys all make it through that winter and it's just like a group thing, or it's like a toughness, or?
Well, I think it's a lot of like Kansas City is an up and coming city big time. Like, mm-hmm. there's a lot of really cool stuff happening here, and we don't ever get the national recognition.
No
one thinks of Kansas City on the big map, you know? So we always kind of have a chip on our shoulder.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? It's just like, hey, we're here too.
Well, I remember we have family friends that they lived outside the city. I'm trying to think of where, but then they moved as they were retiring. They moved downtown and they got a place in a new area where they had really cool brick, and it was like old buildings that they're turning into either condos or something.
Where I'm at right now is the West Bottoms.
Okay, so that's where West Bottoms is. And so they kept telling us, hey, you guys move here. We're in California. We just didn't think much, but now have I seen more pictures and more photos? Like, I want. This could be a place to live. This is a great.
So Kansas City is really, you got your downtown area, but then there's a bunch of suburbs spread out around it. It's real spread out. The West Bottoms is part of the downtown. It's right west of it. It's the original downtown Kansas City.
Okay.
Like, it's before they started building the big buildings and everything. These are the old brick buildings that were built in the late 1800s.
Oh, that's so cool. That is so cool.
Yeah, it's really cool down here, but it's underneath river level, flood level. So flooding was a big problem down here for years.
Okay.
So that's when they went ahead and went up the hill and started developing Kansas City.
Gotcha.
So down here was kind of deserted for a long, long time. And then, people started kind of seeing what you can do with these cool mm-hmm. buildings. Because they're awesome, badass. I mean, the one I'm in, it's 135 years old.
So which building is it?
The old John Deere building. It's 135 years old.
That is, how ideal is that too for barbecue and for that?
It's perfect. Everything brick. We got original hardwood floors. So, I mean, these hardwood floors are over 100 years old. Excellent job of cleaning them up too. I think that's what people like about the location too, is because, you know, with the stockyards, the American Royal, and everything. I mean, it was born in Kansas City, and it was held here for a very long time. That's right next door.
Really?
Where I was at. And yeah, there's never been anything down here, you know, never a restaurant or anything. So now we're like, you know, there's a couple of restaurants here and there, but a barbecue joint.
Yeah.
You know, and this area has needed something like this. So, like, I wanted to do this for years.
Did you go to college in that area, or did you go straight?
No, I didn't go to college. I've been a worker. I started working in a family-owned restaurant, 14 years old.
Okay.
And kind of did that all through, you know, my 20s. About late 20s, started doing some catering, like, kind of on my own.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to do a little bit of everything, you know, on the food side. And then I just kind of honed in. Like, I always wanted to do Italian, Mexican, this. And then finally, I was like, man, I'm just going to settle in on barbecue and do my thing and, you know. I think I offer a fantastic product.
I've heard great things, and that's another reason why I wanted to talk. But what was the family restaurant? What type of restaurant was it?
It's a pizza place. Okay. It's an Italian restaurant. It's original pizza and Italian restaurant. They, at one time in the 80s and 90s, had almost 30 locations around Kansas City and the metropolitan.
Wow.
So it's cool to learn from their old Italians. Sicily, come over, start the restaurant.
Oh, that's so cool.
It's cool to learn from them, you know, because they're smart guys.
Well, especially work ethic too. You learn how important it is to work hard.
100%. And them guys, he's one of the hardest workers I've ever met. Vito was his name.
Vito, is he still around? Yeah. Or no?
Oh yeah, he's still around.
Does he like barbecue?
He's one guy that he's not the biggest fan of barbecue because it gives him indigestion or whatever, the smoke.
Yeah. A lot of he should take Prilosec.
Hard headed on that stuff. He eats tomato sauce and spaghetti. And stuff.
That's funny. You know what's funny? It's like tomato sauce probably has a lot of like the same stuff in that.
The same acidic stuff. Yeah.
That's funny. So, what kind of barbecue were you cooking when you were younger, or like for the last 14 years? Or
this style of barbecue. So, like what we serve now is kind of like Texas style barbecue, mm-hmm. is what people refer to it as. It's the way I've always cooked, though.
Okay.
Like I've always. Like cooking, you know, my briskets on offsets, or when I first started, we did drums,
mm-hmm.
like competition, 55 gallon drums, and I still love those. I can do a lot of really good work with those drums, but it's just the way you cook the brisket. You know, it's the cooking, it's the resting, you know, I trim it up nice and pretty and everything, and cut fresh to order.
So it's not the Bryant's and Gate style, it's not that style.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
No, I don't use, there's no kind of slicers or any of that stuff used. I mean, it's cooked, rested, eaten.
Well, did, were you going to competitions at all with that? Like, were you?
I've done the American Royal, and we did a couple other competitions that we did pretty well in. We took 8th place in Turkey.
That's not bad.
Of all categories. I mean, it was out of 490 people. So if the first competition I ever did.
Wow.
You know, wanted to jump into the American Royal, always thought about doing it, and we did that last year.
I think I saw some video of you at the American Royal.
Yeah, we put a little promo video out that was pretty cool. My girlfriend's big on social media and stuff, so she does a lot of awesome work.
So she's the one talking to you on the video?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'll put a link to that. I think it's on your Facebook page.
A lot of social media stuff and get, you know, all the online
platforms. That's huge, and that's how we met. She's done a great job, yeah.
That's new age marketing there. It's all social media.
Oh, yeah. Know?
I don't think a lot of people understand how powerful social media is and when it can be used for marketing and everything.
Well, and also, too, like the whole term social media makes it seem like it's something like for kids to just play around or like gossip or something. But it's a great tool. And Twitter actually is coming back as a bigger tool. But Instagram is perfect for barbecue, for photos. And
we use a lot of Facebook and Instagram to both. It seems like Facebook's a lot more local,
mm-hmm.
and then Instagram gets more spread out on the
national. That's true. Oh, yeah. Like, I'm in California, yeah. Like, the Facebook side, and I should probably look at the Facebook side a little bit more. I shun Facebook because it's a mess these days.
That's what I hear from a lot of people. People are either for Facebook or they're like, nope.
Well, nowadays, it's like, it's extremely political, but it's always like building up to election. It's always political. And then with COVID and all this stuff. So when COVID hit, when did your restaurant open?
Okay. So we started in February this year for, down here in the West Bottoms, they do what's called First Friday weekends.
Oh, cool.
They basically shut off the square block area around us. And there's a bunch of old antique stores and little boutique shops, but just real cool stuff down here. Some of them only open during that weekend once a month.
Wow.
So it turns into a festival down here. They got beer tents, live bands and stuff.
I want to go to that. That's cool.
It's cool. That's a big part of the business down here too. So we set up for a service Friday and Saturday. Did awesome. People loved it. went ahead, came back in March, did the same thing, said, all right, let's go ahead and make this location. Let's sign the lease. Sign the lease. The very next week, I'm sitting there on Tuesday, and they canceled the Big 12 tournament, which is a huge tournament.
Huge.
Basketball tournament they hold right up the street here. And I'm like, that's not good. You know,
that's
I'm
a
like,
weird
they
thing.
Never cancel stuff like that. And then, you know, everything just started falling after that. So we kind of pulled back for about a month. And, you know, the landlord here was really cool. He understands we're just starting and stuff like that. He wants us to succeed and knows what we can do. So kind of pulled back. And then we started taking online pre-orders where we would just take pre-orders through the week, cook on Friday, sell on Saturday.
Yeah.
And that was just pickup only. And I think that really helped us a lot to keep the word out that we're here. Because people were still calling, hey, we want to know what's going on and everything. And then when May 16th hit, so we started doing pre-orders probably late March.
Okay.
Did that for about 5-6 weeks. And then May 16th, we opened for dine-in, and we've sold out every week since.
Had you already built the restaurant out?
Yeah, so the spot was already basically ready to go. Like, we came in, and we had to, you know, kind of do our thing to it.
Mm-hmm.
What we're doing right now is we're getting a smokehouse built outside.
Oh, cool.
So right now, we operate on the temporary permits. We do a event permit every weekend. We got to get it, come in here, and we'll do two or three days.
Okay.
So once we get the permanent smokehouse built outside, we're going to get our full-time license, probably open up 3 to 5 days a
week.
Nice.
What kind of pit are you cooking off of?
So right now, I have about an 800-gallon pit. It's old 40, 50-year-old pit I found from a guy in Nebraska that we had to
That's cool.
love to do it. Yeah, it's awesome. It's actually a dual firebox offset that I burn fires on both sides, and the center stack, it's a center stack. So it cools from both sides, and I hang a lot of the meat along with on the racks. I mean, I can load it up almost 80, 90 slabs at once. I mean, it'll hold some meat. About 20 briskets.
Had you ever seen a dual firebox? I don't know if I've seen that.
No, I had, and there's only one other smoker I've seen like mine. And it was actually a guy that lived right down the street from us. We were driving, and I'm like, where the hell did this come from, you know? Actually, Lynn went and talked to him, and he found it from some guy down in Springfield.
Wow, so you're going to build a smokehouse for that, and then eventually, who knows, you might need another.
Well, actually, we're building the smokehouse for our new 1,000-gallon pit that we're getting built right now. It's probably about 3 weeks to a month out, but we got a local builder, really liked the guy. Found him out in Kansas, but he's just trying to make a name for himself as well. But it does good quality work, so I just took some of my plans out there, and he's going to build me a custom 1,000-gallon pit.
Oh, nice!
He's got a good connection on these 1,000-gallon tanks, so he wanted to jump into the commercial market.
Mm-hmm.
I told him, I was like, man, that's a great idea. I was like, there's no one in this area building these kinds of pits right now. I was
no,
like, everyone
not.
Texas, basically.
Uh-huh.
Texas, there's a couple really good guys out in California I know of too.
Yeah, it's starting to really heat up out here too. But across the United States, there's little smatterings. There's some in the South, but a lot of them build offsets, but it's more they'll build like chambers or different stand-up things and different things.
Yeah, cabinet smokers and everything.
Cabinet ones.
Wanted to get a cabinet smoker at one time. I like the offsets. It's all about moving air.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're in those 1,000-gallon tanks, they move some air.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the draw is so strong, it's going to cook a lot more even. You're going to get a lot better bark. You know, you don't have to work as hard either. Once some tanks heat up.
And especially if it's well built, you don't go through a lot of fuel. Is that going to be a difficult thing to get the city to sign off on that? Or?
No, we've already talked with them. Basically, there's just a few codes that you have to go by.
Well, cool.
You have to be a certain distance away from the buildings, which we're good. And we're in between all brick buildings down here. So that is as well, because it's not non-combustible.
Yeah.
So they're not too worried about that. We have to get the coverage. We'll have to enclose it, and we're gonna make it look all pretty and everything.
That'll be a great. That's a great.
I
have
to leave enough space for another one. I want to have two of them in there, but get the first one in there, and then back another one next to it would be ideal.
Yeah, build it to grow, because even someone like Reed Guest at Guest Barbecue, he makes his own pits. Guest Family Barbecue in Waco, but he makes his own pits. But he like what he does is so killer. It's.
I think I know who you're talking about too. He does a good job on his pits.
Certain guys that like cook really good barbecue and they make pits, but some of them, like Reed doesn't sell them. He just doesn't make them for himself.
He builds himself, yeah.
Which is awesome to have that ability. Not many people do.
My dad's an excellent welder.
Is
and I've thrown some ideas around Adam and doing this and that. And he's like, oh, I don't have the time, or we can't move this or that. But we've built a couple pits over the years, smaller stuff though, like the 55-gallon drums, done some cool stuff with those, and a couple Santa Maria style grills.
Well, that's cool.
I like cooking on open fire.
Yeah.
So something like that, you know, that I can burn a nice fire and then, you know, raise it up and down, whatever need be.
Maybe someday you'll have like evenings where you do open fire stuff. That would be like, that's down the road, but that's always a fun thing to have.
That would be really cool.
So what's your menu like right now?
We got a complete menu. We do brisket's our thing for sure, but brisket, pulled pork, pork ribs. We do house-made sausage. I've always got the jalapeno cheddar, which is a pork and beef mix.
Okay.
But I like to experiment too. This week we did an all beef black pepper and a verde Oaxaca all pork sausage. Oh,
that sounds great.
Fantastic. That thing, it's going to go on the menu, you know. I've seen people play around with the Oaxaca cheese and sausages, and it couldn't be better. It melts so good. Like when you cut into the sausages, it just spills out.
Yeah, yeah.
People love that. But then we also do a smoked turkey, which is one of the more underrated meats, I believe. Uh-huh. It's really good. And when people try it, they just love it. And then the bacon burn-ins.
Yeah, tell me about those bacon burn-ins.
Yeah, we do the pork belly, you know, because we like doing, I believe, in the thick-cut Texas fatty brisket.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's typically used for burn-ins.
Exactly.
So it's making a choice, one or the other. So we ended up sticking with keeping the briskets whole because it cooks
that's
better
smart.
Whole. You know, I don't like separating them and doing all that. So do that whole, and then we can do the pork belly burn-ins, which people in Kansas City are loving. Like, that's they're finding out, like, I mean, it might not be classic Kansas City burn-in.
But why should it be?
Yeah, it's fantastic. I mean, they're little morsels of fatty pork. What could be better to cook down and, you know, grub on?
Are you cooking them in any type of special liquid, or do you ever add anything to it?
We do. I mean, we start them, cube them up, smoke them, get a nice color on them. And then I've got a really good finishing glaze.
Okay.
It's about 5-6 different sweet with a little bit of kick to it. But they're good.
Don't some people sometimes do like Dr. Pepper, or they do like wacky or cola or something? I don't know. I've seen some stuff, or like Big Red.
Yeah, I've seen that. I think Pitmaster's just getting a little bored. They're sitting there like, hey, let's try this. It might taste good.
I could talk to you in a year from now. You're like, yeah, I'm doing wacky. I'm doing Gatorade burn ends now.
I like to stick.
Yeah.
I do like experimenting a lot of times, but we did a special a few weeks ago, and it was really good. Buffalo-style pork ribs, where I actually dunk them in the buffalo sauce, slice them, and then top them with a little crumbled blue cheese and green onion.
That sounds pretty awesome.
It was good. You know what I mean? Stuff like that's different.
Because it has the vinegar. I love buffalo sauce because it has that vinegar in it. And it's, yes.
And vinegar, like I was talking to somebody the other day about that, I didn't really find out about vinegar and barbecue until I started cooking barbecue. So, growing up, Kansas City's all molasses-based barbecue sauce. It's super sweet, thick, heavy, and I wasn't the biggest fan. So when I started cooking, you know, reduced research on other regions and stuff like that, like vinegar is perfect because it cuts right through all the fat and everything. I don't like sauce on my brisket, on beef and stuff like that, but pork, it's great.
Do you have a barbecue sauce that you guys have on hand for people?
We do two main sauces. I do my house. It's a vinegar-based barbecue sauce. It's the red sauce.
Yeah.
And then I do a golden mustard sauce as well, which is really good. I suggest that with all our sausages.
Oh, wow. That sounds good.
I never sauce anything. It's all served on the side.
That's good to know. So you're essentially like a Central Texas-ish style with your own twist.
Some of the Kansas City flavor and flair on it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's Central Texas barbecue.
What about sandwiches?
We do sandwiches, yeah. We offer 5 different big-ass sandwiches, basically. That's one of our big sellers is we do a beast mode sandwich, which is it's brisket, pulled pork, sausage, turkey, and it's topped with 2 ribs.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, come in and you got this big old barbecue sandwich. And then I did another one. It's a MVP 15 after, you know, they had to name it after old Patrick Mahomes for us.
He's a stud.
People tear that thing up. They see the MVP, they're like, I want the MVP. But it's all my favorites, like pulled pork, sausage, and brisket. And then it's got a bacon burn-in topper.
Oh, that's cool. So
put that nice morsel on top, and it just starts dripping all over the bun. The phone come out. They're like, oh, I need a picture.
What are the other three the sandwiches, just so people know?
So we do a Tennessee dip, which I know I talked to you about Harp barbecue a little bit,
yeah,
but
yeah, Tyler,
Zach Parker came in and cooked a whole hog out there, And I got to talking with him a lot when he did that.
I love Zach so much.
Zach's a great dude. He is. He's a really great dude. I mean, loves his craft and everything. Yeah. But he makes a badass barbecue sauce. That vinegar-based sauce for the pork.
Yeah, yeah.
I got to experimenting with that. So that's why I put the Tennessee dip on. It's different than our house sauce, but it's a red, just vinegar dip that I like dipping the full pork in there, and it's just great.
Oh,
it's
that's
got
cool.
A little bit of heat to it too, so it's a little bit different. But
That's a cool thing. It's a nod to Zach Parker.
I love the guy. And we also do the Boss sandwich, which is brisket and one of our house-made sausages.
Okay.
And we do a fresh jalapeno and pickled red onion on top of that. And then we offer one meat sandwiches on everything. If anyone just wants to come in and get a one meat sandwich.
Like a turkey sandwich or a sausage sandwich, yeah.
Turkey's actually real popular.
And I've said this probably a million times on the show, but if a place does turkey and does it well, order it every time. Like, turkey is so great at a barbecue. So it's the sleeper meat. And I don't know, do you know Blake Stoker?
I follow him. Yeah. I don't know him, but yeah.
He makes a sandwich, and we had talked about it like on an episode where he puts it's brisket and turkey together. That's like with a little bit of sauce, and that's his breakfast or right before service every day. And then he has like a thing called Bubba Cole, which is turkey brisket and then pimento cheese. And those are cool combinations, but it's interesting turkey just for me it's like the sad little brother that no one knows about.
So I forgot about one of our big ones. We do a beef and cheddar. That's what I put on the menu. It's just beef and cheddar, but it's chopped brisket, and then I do a smoked cheddar cheese sauce. We actually smoke the sauce out in the pit and bring it. It's great. Because they see me, I build the sandwich, pile that meat on there, then I walk over to the ladle, and I start ladling that cheese over there, and everyone's like, oh, you know.
You need to be open multiple days because you're in a place where people can try many different things. Wow, you're very creative. I love this. This is killer.
We also our side dishes. I mean,
yeah, I wanted to get to that next. Yeah,
99% of the stuff on our menu is made here. You're like, I don't make the mayonnaise. I don't make the ketchup. Other than that, everything else is all here.
So, what are your sides?
Oh, we do macaroni and cheese, which they're topped with the chicharrones. So it's got a little bit of crisp to it, and then we do a smoked elotes, which is cheesy corn. It's Kansas City style cheesy corn with the Mexican flair.
Okay.
I top it with the cheese. It's got the little bit of hot sauce, got some Tajin, lime. It's one of the more popular dishes. And then we do the pit beans, which I smoked the beans out with the briskets and butts the night before.
Nice.
Let that soak up everything good. And then we do a cucumber salad. We have a bacon and blue potato salad.
Oh, cool.
Which we actually put blue cheese and bacon in with our red skin potatoes, and it's really good.
That sounds so good.
And then a chipotle slaw.
Okay.
And it's got a little spice to it. Mm-hmm. So I think people like that. It's a little different than your typical slaw.
Yeah. And there's so many different ways to make slaw, and there's a lot of people that, you know. And do you put slaw on your pork set, like your pulled pork sandwich? Or?
Yep. The Tennessee dip is actually served with a little 2-ounce container of slaw on the side. So if they want to just dump it on.
If you're doing a lot of to-go business, it's better to have something on the side, in my opinion.
I always try and keep the food as fresh as possible. So if someone tells me, hey, I'm going to eat this an hour later, I'm like, hey, I'm going to put this bun on the side. You know, just build a sandwich.
That's smart.
Like, I don't want it to soak everything up and then, you know, you end up with a crappy sandwich or something.
What about desserts? Do you do any of those?
Yeah, we do a peanut butter pie, which is a house-made peanut butter pie. We do banana pudding. It's not your mama's banana pudding. I actually do 3 different kinds of custard that we just layer together with bananas and wafers. It's really good.
I almost thought you were going to say I did 3 different kinds of banana, and I'm like, what the hell? How does
where the hell is it?
Like from 3 different regions of the world, you're like that. That's too fancy.
I don't even know if there are 3 different kinds.
I'm sure there's probably, but we don't know. How would we know? We know with the one banana that comes to our country.
Right, it's delicious. We do a limoncello cake too.
Oh, really?
We actually got a little company that makes the limoncello cake for us. I don't have an actual kitchen inside the restaurant. So I don't work with any kind of cooking equipment inside. It's all done outside. So we cook everything in the pit, you know, pit or burners and whatnot.
How do you pull off the sides then? Are you doing those, like, do you have a little?
Yeah, we have warmers, basically steam tables. Okay. I have multiple steam tables that everything's cooked outside and then brought inside for the steamers.
That seems like, and you're pulling that off. Or do you eventually want to build that? Can you build out a kitchen, or is there not enough space?
We would have to do it in a different. Where we're at here, I've got access to some other buildings. So if we ever really wanted to expand, I could maybe build out a kitchen across the street.
But if you could do it without a kitchen, that would be great.
Yeah, if I could get away with it, and right now I am, I don't see any reason we'd have to. I mean, maybe just add some more pits. Just have a pit cooker for my sides or something.
Yeah. That's true. Now, are you doing, like, I could see on your right shoulder, is that a bar area?
Oh, so right over here, that's actually, in the future, we want that to be a bar area.
Okay. Yep.
It's merchandise right now. We set up some merchandise and also photos. Where we're at, we're in the same building as the Beast Haunted House. Which is, it's...
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm telling you.
It's the oldest haunted house in America. It's actually number one ranked in
it's
America.
It's insane. The Travel Channel every year has the big thing on it, yeah.
The exit for their haunted house is actually at the very back of our restaurant.
Oh, that's so funny.
So they're going to be... We'll actually change the way we operate a little bit for Halloween season at nights. But they're going to be funneling out of the back of the restaurant from 6 p.m. to 1 a.m.
Interesting.
Yeah, so we're going to have a little bit different service for nights for Halloween, but we're going to use that as like a photo booth taking area, pictures, so when people can come out, get their stuff, get barbecue. But as we work on our full-time license, we want to have them serve alcohol.
Yeah.
Want to get into having a bar over there and stuff.
Wow, that would be interesting. You can come up with some Halloween-themed items.
Yep. Well, we got the beast mode sandwich is kind of name after the building and everything. You know, we try to play around with a few, like feed the beast is one of our sayings. We put on a couple shirts and stuff.
That's cool. That's really cool. Is that going to, I guess we don't know now because of COVID, if that's it, hopefully will happen, but.
Fingers crossed. Yes.
Yeah. The distancing, they could do distancing because it's better if you don't hear the person screaming right in front of you. It's better. Like, get some distance.
Jump out.
Wow. This is really, really cool. I love what you're doing. You're really, I'm so, so glad I spoke to you. I wanted to speak to you for a while, but this is so interesting because you're doing something different in Kansas City. And I know that, you know, Tyler's doing his thing, but his is different than what you're doing. It's complete.
Yeah. Tyler's got his own thing. No, Tyler, Tyler cooks on live fire, which I'll give it to him. And it's not easy to do at all. And there's no barbecue joints in Kansas City doing it.
Yeah.
Like there's only a couple others I could really tell that are sticking to the old ways of cooking on live fire through the whole process. There's some that might start, The briskets might kiss the pit for 3 or 4 hours, but then they're going in the Southern Prides and the Old Hickories.
Exactly.
It's not the same. And I don't ever want to, I mean, of course we want to grow the business and we're going to continue to grow, but I'm never going to turn into, we got to feed the masses.
I know.
Sure. I got to feed thousands of people, this and that, and load the pit up, you know, with Southern Prides and stuff like that. I'm just not going
to
do that.
It has to work for certain areas just because, like, you know, zoning and different things, but it's not... I wouldn't recommend.
I'm sorry, Kevin. I just this came across my phone. I just got a huge pre-order for this weekend. I just wanted it was like $1,000 order, so I want to double check on this.
Yeah, make sure it's real. This is real time. This is what it's like to have a restaurant. See if so. Hopefully, someone's not messing with you. Is this like something that someone's done on the website?
Yeah, we do a pre-order pickups that we basically take them through an online ordering system. And we schedule it to where we open up at 9 a.m. So when it comes through, all the orders will start loading up or whatever. And my girl just gave me a notification. She's like, hey, you might want to look at this order real quick.
Does it seem real? Is it for like an office maybe or something?
We got a big catering for a Kansas City Fire Department this weekend.
Oh, that's cool. That's fun to have like real time like with something. So was that what that noise was, that beeping noise?
Yeah, that thing. Yeah, that's what. We actually had a really big weekend this weekend on getting out to the media, and basically we had 435 Mag get a hold of us, which is the Kansas City magazine. They're big on everything Kansas City. It's all food and just cool shops and stuff, but they sent some professional photographers out for Saturday service and took some badass photos. I mean, I built them an awesome tray, so I'm really excited to see how that turns out. And I guess, you know, they could be working on an article for us, which will be huge.
That's nice. And you know what? And this is just, like, I'm catching you. It's the beginning. It's not the early. It's not, like, before you open. But it's the early time. And I'd like that maybe a year from now we could reconnect or 9 months and kind of see, like, where you are, how things have gone. And I think people love that progression. And this is, I think that this will hopefully people that are in the area want to visit you, because I think it's what you're doing is awesome.
I think that's like the area plays part of it, kind of what we're doing as well, the style of barbecue we're serving, you know, and like people miss the West Bottoms. I think like they love coming down here. Everyone's always loved coming down here. Like I'll say in the 80s and 90s, you didn't want to go to the West Bottoms. Like it was just, it was kind of still a little old, nothing. There was no development happened down here. And like downtown Kansas City started coming back up about 15 years ago, I'd say. Mm-hmm. I put a lot to the Royals winning the World Series. Like it was about 3 or 4 years before that. It started developing and everything. And then when they won, it just seemed to explode.
Interesting. People started
moving downtown. Like the zip code downtown went from, it was like 4,000 population to over 30,000 people.
That's huge.
Yeah. In a matter of like a couple of years. So they started building all the condos and all that. And I actually live downtown now. So, I mean, I'm here too.
You're one of them. People don't realize the impact of sports on, like, people just think, oh, it's a sports, or, oh, those are just overpaid. No, it helps the community, not just in, like, being enthusiastic about something together, but it helps the economy.
Bring some national recognition. I always use the example as Peyton Manning. Like, look at the Colts.
True.
You know, look at all the stuff they built for him around there, you know, that they built that whole stadium, you know, for him basically. And then you go downtown and it's Peyton Manning, everything, all this, you know, it's just LeBron James is another guy like putting small cities on a map, and Patrick Mahomes is going to do that for us. And he is going to do it there.
I hope he gets another season this year. I hope so much.
I haven't even got to think about that, truthfully. Like,
don't think about it. When I mentally go down that road, it makes me sad. I'm already questioning if basketball is going to work, and they've already shut down the All-Star game for baseball. So let's just keep our fingers crossed. Football, they could do maybe without
baseball season, like 60 games or something like that.
Something like that. I saw, because we have the Dodgers here, and I saw something last night, and I think there's a price. He's not going to pitch for the Dodgers this year. He said he just doesn't want to take the risk. So we had just signed him, and who cares? But it's like,
he's good. We faced Price for a long time when he was up with the Tigers.
Yeah. He's a good. But it's a weird time for people. You have to respect if people are worried, because you know I take care of my mom, who's 75, so I'm really cautious. And but hopefully it's not as bad. Like hopefully it's not as contagious.
Well, I have a pregnant girlfriend. She's 7 months pregnant right now, so we're expecting. We've been extra careful this whole time.
Congratulations. Wow. That's...
Thank you. So, yeah, we don't do anything other than barbecue and then hang out in the restaurant. You know, I'm not out and about with people in general. Like, I'm not scared by no means. No. Like that. It's just taking the precautions. And they did laugh at me. They put the new... They reinstated it's mask required everywhere in the city right now. Which, I mean, we require them in the restaurant when you're in line, but when you're eating, of course, you know, just social distance.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, as long as you're social distance. And so what are the best social media ways to get a hold of you?
ChefJBarbecue.com. We got the website. And then Instagram and Facebook are both at ChefJBarbecue.
That's so easy. It's so
easy. Yep, ChefJBarbecue.
Well, awesome. And then right now you're only open on Saturdays. Pre-orders close on Thursdays?
So we do, we're open every Saturday from 11:30 a.m. to sellout, which is usually 3-4 o'clock. Okay. And then first Friday weekends, which will be the first Friday of every month, will be Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Gotcha.
So we do that. And pre-orders for every week, we take them Sunday through Thursday.
Okay.
Cutoff's 5 o'clock on Thursdays.
On Thursday. And so now also too, like is there a time where, do things start to come off the menu like on Wednesday, or can you order up until Thursday almost every day?
No, you can order up until Thursday. Yeah, okay. I can account, as long as I have everything ordered by Thursday, I can account for the cook for that day. It's when someone comes in on Saturday and they're like, oh, I need, you know, 6 pounds of turkey. I'm like, well, there goes my turkey. Or like one of the big things, I like side dishes and stuff. We got hammered this weekend for July 4th. On pre-orders and stuff, so like I had 7 different orders with trays of macaroni and cheese and trays of corn. So it's just kind of managing all that.
Yeah,
we got a small area on the kitchen to work with, so like I got everything filled up basically.
For those people that want to place big orders, would you rather them contact you direct or do it online?
I would prefer to talk to them. Okay. I always like talking to the customer, yeah. but online's no big deal either. If I have any questions, I have no problem reaching out and calling them back.
But if they have a big kind of big catering order, they can call you up or email you or DM you and you. Yeah.
For sure. Okay. So we really have no limits on the pre-orders. And then we do offer catering as well for like weddings and corporate functions. We're working on putting together a catering menu for that kind of stuff. Yeah. That's what I did 3 years before this. And then I kind of put that on the back burner as jumping in to just barbecue.
Well, that'll be nice. Once things clear up a lot more, that'll be a great segment of your business. Great.
Sure. Yeah. Get some more people in here. Once we operate more than one day a week, I'll be able to hire a more, full-time crew, get some people in here 3-4 days a week, take it to the next level. Just keep growing.
And you're enjoying it, it seems.
Oh, we love it. Love it. It's a blast. Yeah. And I've worked my ass off my whole life. I've been working at another restaurant 60, 70, 80 hours sometimes. I mean, now I might work 90 in a week, but.
But it's your baby, yeah.
It's my baby. I don't want to leave. I'm here having a good time.
You're going to have 2 babies in about 2.5 months or 2 months.
Right.
Well, cool. Well, thank you. Thank you so much for taking the time. Thanks for sharing everything.
For sure. Thank you. It was really nice talking about you. Everywhere around us, they're all 120, 130 years old.
Wow.
Like the old stove building, stove hardware and supplies directly across from us. It's 130 years old.
Are you on a second floor or something? Are you on a...
Yeah, we're raised up in the air just a little bit where they got it. All right. I can give you a little spin around. Come on.
That'd be fun, yeah. That'd be cool.
Well, here, I'll walk you right. This is just so we can open up to the restaurant a little bit. You can see, there's service line. We got the block. Everything. Basically, you enter right here, walk in. I'm cutting right behind there, and then we walk them around. We come right around this way. And then side dish categories and all that. We got, I don't know if you can see that up on the wall.
Yeah, it'll clear up. I could actually light that up.
Yeah, that stuff. And then kind of pay. We got a decent sized dining room over here.
Very decent. Oh, that brick and that looks just, the floors are awesome.
Yeah, the floors are really awesome. They did a great job. Then we, right here, that's the beast, that door back there, that's the beast.
Exit. Right there? Oh, that is?
Yep. So right in the back corner, people will be funneling out of there. We want to do the bar right here and everything.
That's going to be killer. That's beautiful. What was that before? Was that like a...
That up top there? That's a charcuterie board that we built for a catering event.
Gorgeous, gorgeous.
It was great. I just put all kinds of Italian meats and cheeses across. It was really good.
That's cool. That's a smart idea. That's great for catering, yeah.
Yep. Just put the doors in there. Here, actually, these doors, I'll show you in the front because they are awesome. Right here.
Oh wow, with the stained glass?
Yep. Those doors right there.
Oh, there's an old door. Oh, those are beautiful.
Yeah, these all are original doors here. So I'm going to walk right out here. You can see.
Okay, yeah, you're on the ground floor. Oh, interesting. There's the pit. Okay.
Really cool area. And then right down there at the end of the street where it's road closed.
Yeah.
The city is actually putting in a huge outdoor downtown park.
That will be right so at the great end of the street. For you.
Oh. Yeah, it's going to be huge as soon as they open.
That's cool. Even that wall. Is that wall with the black on it? Did you guys do that or was that there?
Oh, okay. This is
you tear off half the.
Whoever had the bright idea to put a bunch of concrete over that old brick, but that was all concrete on that whole wall there. But when they came in here, started sludge hammering away, and found this brick and just kind of thought that looked cool, leaving that up there.
I like it. It's interesting.
It does. It looks really cool.
Yeah.
So just cleaning that area up, and these windows here. They're actually they were like little small 24-inch windows, little blocks all the way across. Uh-huh. They knocked out that whole wall there and put these beautiful windows in.
It's nice to have. It'll bring in a lot of light, and especially on dreary days, that's going to be nice to have.
The natural sunlight is great. And then, this is where the streets fill up for the festival, so this is perfect people watching.
Oh, that's so cool.
Everyone's sitting there, it's all going on, doing their thing and stuff. You got like street performers and everything.
So are some of those buildings, are they not occupied right now? And so that's still opportunity for businesses to come in? Or?
This area right here is mostly occupied.
Okay.
At least the first floors are. Now, he has spaces to rent out and stuff. So there's new shops moving in here all the time. But you start going a little bit more towards the river. There's a few buildings over there that mm-hmm. are opening up that could be developed. I mean,
that's cool.
And then actually, they're starting to put residential down here, which is awesome.
That will be huge for you, too.
Like, probably about two blocks, they did an out-of-state development for like $150 million where they bought three old buildings and turned them into like new condos.
That's crazy.
So, kept the old structure and everything, so they're really cool. Then they built a huge complex behind us that they're just waiting on people to move in. COVID kind of slowed a lot of stuff down.